Our gospel lesson today comes to us from Luke chapter 1, beginning with the 46th verse. Let us listen to the word of God. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliest of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, there's nothing more exciting or joy-filled than a newborn baby, is there? The waiting, the anticipating, the buying the baby clothes. And similarly, in the season of Advent and Christmas, many associate this time of year with excitement and joy. In fact, today we lit the candle of joy, the pink candle, which is marked by a different color, so we know that we're more than halfway to Christmas. Most of us are excited and joy-filled about the baby Jesus, who's about to be born. Now, a little bit before the proclamation about the baby to Mary, we can all imagine the joy Mary felt when Joseph proposed to her. I'm sure her family was excited about the news, and they begin planning the wedding. It would have been a simple wedding because they didn't have much money. They were a poor family, but that didn't matter. Her friends and others in the small town were thrilled for her, and the joy she felt was overflowing. That is, until one day she has this vision. She meets Angel Gabriel, who tells her that she's pregnant. She's with child, which sounds joyful and exciting on this side of the thing of it, but if you're Mary and you're engaged and not yet to be married, this news is the opposite of joy-filled news. Joseph could leave her. Her parents could disown her. The town could stone her. That's what the weight of this news carries for her. There's nothing more exciting or joy-filled than a newborn baby, the Christ child. Unless it's unexpected news. For Mary, I'm sure she was anxious about it actually happening. Once she started showing, her friends would surely abandon her. People would start whispering behind her back. And instead of joy and excitement, Mary would start to feel isolated. I'm sure she would feel scared and anxious that she's all alone. She's had the impossible happen to her, visions and angels and a baby. And now a few months later, she's starting to show, and she knows who this baby will be, but they didn't tell her how to deal with the feelings of loneliness. I'd imagine Mary's not alone. There's a lot of folks who struggle to find joy around Christmas. For those who have lost a loved one, a child, a spouse, a parent, the holidays can sometimes feel like a struggle. Then there's those who are struggling to make ends meet, to get the bills paid, to get food on the table. Some don't have a job. Others are homeless. There's some who can't afford Christmas presents. There are folks who face deep depression or struggle with addiction, those who have a chronic illness that always pulls them down. or the person who is struggling with cancer. Instead of joy and excitement this Christmas, they might feel like Mary does, isolated and scared and anxious, maybe alone. Yet right about when Mary's about to show, at 3 months, she's sent away to another town in the hill country to live with her cousin Elizabeth and Zechariah. God's providing her a place of comfort during this time of struggle, and just as the angel said to her, she meets her cousin Elizabeth, who is much, much older, and she's pregnant. Probably for the first time since she's found out that she was pregnant, Mary's a bit relieved. She knows she's not all alone, especially when she sees Elizabeth with child. Someone else experienced shocking and unexpected news, just like her, and Elizabeth can understand how she's feeling. She's probably the first person to actually believe Mary's story. And when Elizabeth meets Mary the first time, Elizabeth's baby jumps inside her, and she knows about Mary's child, who he is. In fact, she shares how excited she is for Mary. I would imagine no one else has done that so far, not her mother, not the ladies in town, maybe not even Joseph. Elizabeth's the first person who understands. And when Mary hears Elizabeth's joy and excitement, she doesn't have to explain the impossible with Elizabeth. And for the first time, Mary can let that guard she has down, and all the anxiety and the pressure and the loneliness can slip away. It's been bottled up. It's bottled up the joy and the excitement that she's been feeling. And in this moment, Mary, for the first time, can celebrate and rejoice about her baby aloud. So she sings and rejoices about how her baby is going to change the world. And that's what our scripture reading is about this morning. We just read the song that Mary sings about her baby. And it's filled with joy and excitement. Now, in Christmas pageants, we often see Mary as a quiet mother, maybe even silent. But that's not what this song is. It's the Magnificat, a song of joy that Mary shares. And in it, we discover that she shares joy, not only of a Savior, but of the good news that is happening to her and for all. She's a nobody, but God has done something amazing through her. And she shares that God's reign breaks through the status quo. And when Mary sings, we are reminded about what Jesus comes for, to bring down the powerful, to lift up the lowly, to fill the hungry, to send away the rich. See, Mary's song is far more than symbolic. She's singing about something she knows. She's speaking about herself. And for all those who are outcast, all those struggling just like her, all who feel isolated and scared and anxious, all those who are poor and lowly, and today she realizes for the first time because of Elizabeth's comfort and excitement that she brings that God's message of joy rings true for her. Because she was isolated and scared and anxious, poor, outcast, and lowly, and God chose her to bear joy. And it's exciting news. Jesus is changing her in this very moment, and she's bearing a child of joy that will change the world. So for the first time, she has changed her tune from struggle and silence and shame to a song filled with joy. Somehow we aspire for joy, but around this time of year, we sometimes replace it with buying things, buying happiness, and maybe even buying joy. But we know that it's not lasting or real. We might want it to be, but it's hard to find the lasting and real joy. Yet we know that Mary sings truth. The true joy comes from Mary's song, from a child who changes the world order when God's reign breaks through the status quo by bringing down powerful and corrupt, by lifting up the lowly and filling the hungry. Only God can give us this true joy. And like Mary, no matter how much we might struggle through this season, we have something worth singing. What do you think about when you think of joy? When I think of joy, I think of when I lived in Kenya as a missionary. Many Kenyans were living in a shack, kind of poor. Yet they had joy and peace that I hadn't seen in America for a long time. I remember a time when I was at a bakery in Kenya and the bread looked and smelled so good, I decided to buy a whole loaf for myself. And as I came home, I passed through my gated entrance and I waved to the askaris, the guards. They were always so friendly and so nice, and we were visiting. And right there, in that moment, I pulled out the loaf of bread and told them that I bought it for them. The guard called over the other guards, and they shared it with each other. And it wasn't until later that I realized that these askaris, these guards, lived in the ghettos. They traveled every day to guard our complex. And then they traveled home to a place that most of us would consider the cardboard boxes with tin roofs. Yet they always had a smile. They always had joy. They didn't have much, but they had something that not everyone around here has: joy. When I think of joy, I think of a grandfather with his tiny, several-month-old grandson who was diagnosed with cancer one summer. It broke his heart. And he shared that they were starting to do treatment, and he always asked for prayers, and he shared that the treatment was starting to work against all the odds. He shared how his grandson was over the worst of it. You could tell there was joy in his heart. You could tell in his voice how relieved he was. His little grandson, younger than a year old, was still enduring chemo and would for a long while. The parents and grandparents were still enduring, but there was joy, not fear, in his voice. When I think of joy, I think of a man from my last church who took a day off of work around Christmas to help fill empty stockings for hundreds of poor people in Knoxville. He'd been there every year since it started more than 25 years ago with a big Santa hat, big overalls, handing out candy canes. He would ham up his Tennessee accent. And he had a big smile, and he called himself Santa's chief elf. He had joy giving gifts to families who didn't have enough for Christmas. He had joy sharing candy canes to little children. Now, this is the kind of joy Mary's singing about: bringing about God's reign, breaking the status quo, lifting up the lowly, feeding the hungry. Now, joy can sustain us no matter what struggles we face. And that's what Mary sings about to Elizabeth, the joy of her child, the joy that this child brings to each one of us. We have something to celebrate. God is the reason we can sing this time of year and the reason we can live into joy. So our challenge today is to bring about things that will give us joy. How do things look in our town today, here in Jacksonville? And how would they look if the lowly were lifted up, if the hungry had full bellies? That's how we can let the song of Mary's fill our world with songs of joy. How are you going to share Christmas this year? In a season that says splurge, let's share joy by lifting up the lowly, feeding the hungry, helping the outcast. And just like Elizabeth does for Mary, we can support those who are struggling. And when we do that, we'll help others sing a song for joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.